Okay, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Dana Buckler Show. My name is Dana, and I always say I'm incredibly pleased to welcome my next guest, but this time I have to really put an emphasis on how excited I am to welcome back to the podcast after almost 5 years, one of my very good friends, Annalise. How are you?
I am good. 5 years, that's crazy.
It is 5 years. You know, you and I and your husband, Neil, we all kind of started our little podcast adventure right around the same time. And you and I have always constantly kept in contact throughout the years. And I've been wanting to have you back on the show for quite some time. And now, more than ever, I wanted to talk to you because I want to see how you and Neil are doing. And I know there's going to be a litany of questions for you that I'm going to fire at you. But first things first. How are you and Neil doing? How are things over in California? If you would tell the listeners a little bit about where you live and what the situation is like for you right now.
Right. Well, I live in California. I live in the Napa Valley area. I don't work in Napa Valley, actually, but long commutes in California. So you don't work where you live. But we, interestingly enough, as opposed to like many other states, California is doing fairly well, she says hesitantly. And in particular, Napa County itself, as of today, I double checked, that we're up to 38 cases confirmed, okay. Which is tiny. Because yeah. that's not Napa City, that's Napa County. So we're very lucky. We're doing very well. Like, and we only went into more of an extreme lockdown about a week and a half ago. Like people, like even though it was suggested and restaurants had closed and things like that because of the governor's viewpoints and things like that, you could still go to the grocery store. Like Target was still fairly open, you know, like as of about 2 weeks ago, like now there's a line in front of Target on Saturday mornings because that's their shipment day. And if you want toilet paper, you got to line up at 7:30 at Target for the toilet paper. So, but again, they're still getting toilet paper. So luckier than most. And I am currently home from work, but I still have a job. And I'm sure we'll talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. But my husband, Neil, still at work, goes to work every day. He's considered essential, although his job isn't healthcare related or anything like that. So it's it's kind of interesting that his job is essential, although his job also falls into some strange category of he can actually be not transferred. I'm not sure what the word is, but they can ask him to do something other than his job. Like, for example, if the fire department needs help, like passing out masks or answering phone calls, like he can be assigned to that. Right. He has not been. And he's also acting supervisor because someone just retired and things like that. So his job is very strange, and he goes into the city of San Francisco every day for work. And so it's an interesting, scary, stressful time. I can tell you that these are questions I want to ask you as well. Like, are you sleeping? I'm kind of sleeping. I'm having weird stress dreams. Are you having weird stress dreams? Like, what is going on?
So I can answer that both parts. The first question was, am I sleeping? Yes, but more like the common house cat than, say, a human. By that, I mean, I have no structure. I have no schedule. I've been, I don't want to use the term unemployed because when this thing starts to settle down a little bit, I'm going back to work at my regular job, but I'm just currently temporarily unemployed. So with the exception of doing the podcast, which thank goodness I'm still able to do that. Otherwise, I don't know what I would do. I don't have any routine. So I find myself some days waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, sometimes waking up at 5, taking 2 or 3 naps during the day. I like to say today was a good day. I woke up at 7 a.m. And I was just like, wow. Oh, okay. Like I was excited for the first time. I am having stress dreams. Yes, that is a reality. I'm having this, you know, I don't want to get into the particulars of them, but it's worst case scenario dreams. It's going back to work. Like the one I remember most recently was going back to work, except everything is completely opposite. Everything is bizarre. Nothing's the way it's supposed to be. And I just wake up and I'm just like relieved that I woke up. What about you? I mean, this is happening to you as well, I trust.
Yes. I guess mine are mostly work related, I'm finding out, although I did have like one about Neil's parents the other night because, you know, they're in their 70s and we're worried about them and they're under lockdown and they have to have like stuff delivered to their house. And like we have found toilet paper and paper towels for them. Like, we hunted it down and dropped it off, you know, like at their house, you know, and we like show up in the garage so they could see each other, you know, and right. That was it. So, but yeah, so a lot of mine are work related. Like, I had one where we were carpooling to work. Who's we? I don't know. I don't even carpool, but I don't. But I was in like the back seat, and whoever was carpooling was driving crazy and on the country roads and like getting air in the car. And I woke up scared, and I was like, "What the hell is that even about? I don't know. Like, I don't know, but it's happening." So I guess it all just and there, you know, who knows what dreams really mean anyway? They just manifest itself, and I think it's interesting that a lot of them are work based, yeah. Since we're all up in the air right now. And again, I'm very lucky. I still have my job. I have not yet been furloughed. That could possibly be coming. I actually kind of expect it to come, although I'm also very lucky in the niche that I have. I guess we should say what I do.
Yeah, can you? I was going to say, for the listeners, it's, like I said, it's been 5 years since you've been on the podcast. Right. For those who may not be familiar with you, there's two questions for you. One, sure. Can you talk about the podcast and YouTube channel that you and your husband do, and
right,
then segue into what it is you do for your quote unquote day job,
right?
Which, for your real job, and that one, and then of course, you know, I know the podcast is and YouTube streaming, that's all still going strong. I love it, but I am genuinely curious as well about your day job,
right? So me and my husband do a couples podcast called Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks, and you can find us at DAPF. Podcast on the Twitters. We also have a vlog channel called Halos and Heathens. And in hindsight, for those of you thinking about segueing, make sure to call your YouTube channel the same thing as your podcast, because it creates a nightmare.
Yeah.
Don't do it like we did it. If we could do it again, we would 100%. Sure. Make sure everything is cohesive. Beside the point, that's just a tip, pro tip. but yeah, those are going pretty well. And there's a very large, I don't know if you've seen like the Lisbon articles and things like that, but there's a very big decline right now in podcast listening and YouTube watching, which is hilarious because I thought it would be better,
right?
Because people have free time. Like, what would you do with your free time? I'd watch or listen to more podcasts. Not the case. We are down about we're down a lot, like not quite half, but like we are getting like a noticeable difference for us. But again, we don't really make money off of it. So it won't affect our daily lives. It's just kind of a bummer.
yeah. And I can speak to looking at the metrics. I'm sure every podcaster looks at their metrics on a daily basis.
If they don't, they're a liar.
On a daily basis, or sometimes three times a day.
We just do like a week. We try to, again, 6 years later, we're like, everybody calm down.
Yeah. there has been a bit of a decline in the average number of downloads I'm getting. However, I have released 9 episodes in the past 3 weeks versus, you know, struggling to get 3 a month done. So I am fully capitalizing on, you know, the opportunity to do more podcasts. Sure. But I have
we have a different genre than you do as well. So maybe it's the lifestyle genre that's taking more of a hit. And I view yours as more of a informational, conversational.
Sure. Okay.
Is that appropriate?
But at the same time, I love listening. I'm biased. I really like your guys. I've always loved your podcast.
Well, we're friends, so
yeah, exactly. Now, for the listeners who don't know, tell them about what you do for a day job, if you will.
Day job. So I work for Skywalker Sound, which is the post production facility for Lucasfilm, aka now Disney. So as some of you may have seen in about a few days ago, Disney decided to furlough an immense amount of employees, which we knew was coming because you can't have, I mean, let's just put that in perspective for just a second. Disneyland and Disney World are closed. They can't pay those employees indefinitely. That's tens of thousands of people.
Yeah.
So even though I think, and I'm sure Disney as a whole will be fine in the long run, but they're hemorrhaging money. I mean, just hand over fist, you know, like they're on the, just every day that the parks are closed or, you know, they're like I said, up until that point, they were still paying the employees to not work. So, again, I am, from a different division. And since I fall under the Lucasfilm umbrella, it has hit us a little bit less. And I can tell you one of the cool reasons is because we are still being productive. Like, Skywalker Sound as a whole has managed to keep, I don't know what the exact number is, and if I did, I probably couldn't say, but it's close to 70% working.
Okay.
So I am, again, very lucky because I'm staff, and so I still get paid. But a lot of the editors and sound designers and mixers on movies are all hired by the job. So they're, you know, per job basis. So if that show just went on hiatus, then you're not getting paid. You're not working. However, we did a really, we knew this was coming. So we got together, and I say we in the collective, I'm just a small cog in the engineering machine. I work for the engineering department. And so we managed to not only get a whole bunch of gear together beforehand, but the brilliant engineers and IT staff and digital support staff has managed to keep a large portion of the editors and sound designers working from home. So we deployed out gear. And that's going over all of ILM and Lucasfilm as a whole. Like, we've deployed chairs and desks, as well as computers and speakers. And the last thing I did, like, before I left work the Monday, I knew I was leaving and not coming back for a while. I, you know, put together a pile of speakers and put them out waiting to be picked up. So we are, again, very lucky that a large portion of our staff is working. And we've actually... not to pat ourselves on the back, because again, I'm just a small portion around a whole bunch of brilliant people that have managed to, in a secure fashion, do something that's never been done before. Because it's unheard of for like any large movie company to allow staff to work from home, because it's a huge security risk. Yeah. And so, again, they've implemented new protocols, and brilliant people are on watch 24/7 to make sure all that's good to go, so we can all still have jobs and still work. And it's going very well so far, so much so that, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but this might be part of the new normal moving forward.
Yeah, no, that's, I guess the first question I have in regards to what you just said is, have you adjusted to working from home? Because I can only speak to myself from, you know, and I'm, this is nothing compared to what you do, but with this podcast that I do, and I've got everything set up at home now, and I'm just sort of, I'm finding that it's so easy to be distracted here at home. it's almost like I'm able to talk myself out of doing some podcast editing because I should do laundry or I need to vacuum for the third time this week. You know, like I'm just wondering, and I say that kind of joking around on my end, but
I definitely vacuumed already like three times this week. That's for sure.
So how have you adjusted to working from home?
Well, again, I'm in a very strange position where I could do more of my job at home than I'm doing. So I'm only doing a small part of my job. And part of that is like weekly engineering meetings. And so I'm still doing that. Like I got a overdue compliance training from corporate this morning. And I was like, are we doing that? Like, what are we doing? And I texted my boss because again, I talk to my boss every day, just to check in, see what's going on, see if there's anything I can do. And he's like, well, HR's still working. So I'm like, yeah, okay. Well, he's like, get on that. So my job is normally a hands-on job, and I can go in and pick up gear and bring it home and work on it, but they haven't requested that I do that. So I'm working very little at this point. So again, I am just lucky to still have a job. But again, I'm surprised I haven't been furloughed quite yet, but I think I'm just in that important niche section of the engineering department where we were the last ones out of the building, right, and we were the first ones back in.
Okay. All right.
So they have to kind of have us on standby, basically, as well as most of the engineering staff is working their butts off to maintain the, you know, workers that are at home working, because they're on their computers all day long in constant contact and doing digital support. So,
and I know you can't talk about anything that they're specifically working on,
right?
But you know, I was talking with Patrick Bromley from F This Movie the other day. I had him on the show. And we were sort of talking about how productions have been halted. You know, filming has been halted. Everything has been halted. Are you able to speak to there being at least stuff being, projects being worked on right now that will be released? I mean, I'm not asking, I know,
right,
strictly, right, confidentially speaking, details, names, but are there things that are going to be coming out?
Yes, as well as, but we're not sure how they're going to come out,
right,
because like, just for a perfect example, we had just finished Onward,
right,
you know, Pixar's Onward before. And my best friend, who I nicknamed Ninja, did the sound for that. And I felt bad for her that her movie's not released. Now it went straight to Disney Plus, which is great, which is super great. And, you know, she gets paid the same. So but still, like, you want your work to be out there. And now totally, you know, beside the point, but like, is it available for the same awards coming up? Because it got released to video and not to the theaters.
Oh,
that's a
my.
Different.
I didn't even
that's
think
a whole
about
different,
that.
Yeah, it's a whole different scenario of like, do we hold on to this movie because it's award worthy? Because we don't want it to go straight to digital? Or now are they forced to change the bylaws?
Wow. You know what? I didn't even think about that.
Right. And I don't think she's thought about that. I thought about that for her. And I was like, hey, can you still, are you, can you be up for like an award for that if you're, if it's not released? And she's like, oh, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know? So,
I was going to say for the listeners who don't know, like, for the most of the most prestigious awards out there, you know, the Oscars and things like that, in order to qualify, you technically have to have a theatrical release in an X number of theaters for a specific period of time. Now, typically those movies will get a New York and LA, maybe Chicago release in December and then go wide in January if they're trying to qualify. But you're absolutely right that... Right. That, you know, these films, I mean, this means Trolls World Tour might not be up.
That's going to be straight to video, baby. Straight to video. Sorry to disappoint. You will have no unanswered questions. It's going to come out. Yeah, but no, so we have had a few movies push, but we've also had a few movies hang in there, especially the ones that are close. Like there's a handful that they just have to do the final mix.
Right.
So they're just on standby. Like the second we can get back in the building, they'll be the first ones in. And because they can just, you know, a few days and they can be done. They can call it good. And then whatever they decide to do with it from that point forward is up to them financially, of course. But if you've had that much, you know, financial investment into a movie, then you kind of, and you're that close. I mean, like literally days, just a few days of work is left to do on this thing. So, but yeah, so several have pushed and I'm sure the rest will, but again, so many are so close and we are hopeful as Californians that we will start going back sometime in May, hopefully early May. But again, there's no vaccine as of yet. So like how big of a risk is that? And what does that look like? That's the really big question now.
I was watching Gavin Newsom's press conference yesterday where he was basically laying out all the steps that it's going to take. And I mean, I have to assume that here in Florida, we're going to pretty much mirror, you know, what he's presented. I mean, we're the third most populous state. I'm not going to get into the politics of the decisions that my governor has made here in the state of Florida, but
So what's interesting is like if you look at places that are super populated like New York as opposed to like Florida as opposed to like and in particular San Francisco. So like San Francisco isn't as densely populated as New York, but close. People live on top of each other there, but their numbers are way lower. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the people's attitude or the governor. I can't speak to that. I just know that the numbers are lower. So whatever it is they're doing seems to be working. So. Right. Let's do that.
Yeah, no, I'm all for
whatever
that. I'm all for that. We're just a little slow to get things started here in Florida, but
break.
So exactly. But right. so that I mean, you know, when he was going over those steps, you know, he's talking about restaurants are going to be different, and I of course finally broke the mold and told everybody that yes, I've been working in restaurants for, you know, the past 25 years. It's what I do for a day job. I'm very concerned about the new reality that's going to come out for me when we open up, because I know that it won't just be flip a switch, restaurants full, and you know we're rocking and rolling. It's going to be what it was. It'd be 50% capacity, social distancing. I was talking to the owner today. And she was saying, you know, they're going to make us wear masks and gloves when we're going to tables. And I'm just going, this is going to be bizarre. But I asked that because I mentioned that because movie theaters are a confined space.
I don't think that's happening for quite some time.
No. And as you know, and I've mentioned this on pretty much every lockdown session episode. So listeners, I'm sorry if I keep saying the same joke over and over again. But as you know very well, I've been practicing social distancing in the movie theater for a very long time. So I was way ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I think that you have to go Napa style where they serve beer and wine in the theater and just get a little more chillax attitude.
Yeah. The
you go oh, you go to actually enjoy the movie, unlike most people.
Yeah. So I agree with you that I don't see a scenario in which a movie theater opens up by the end of this year. Now, that's worst case scenario, but I think that's really feasible at this point.
I would say they could only possibly do it if they did like 30% capacity or something like that. Because, I mean, theaters aren't that big.
No.
How many people can fit in there that are 6 feet apart? 25? You know? I mean, like, is it financially worth it for them? Probably not.
No, I mean, they'd have to raise the ticket prices exponentially.
It'd be $25 a piece to go to the movie theater and wear a mask.
And wear a mask. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's, I hate to say that because, again, the fields that I work in, but I don't see that happening. I don't know, of course. Maybe there's stuff I don't know.
To cite something else that Patrick Bromley mentioned when we were talking the other day, because we cited Disney specifically as, you know, they've got Mulan, they've got Black Widow, right. they've got some heavy hitters, you know, up, you know, on deck, if you will.
Yeah, and those are ready to go. Like, they've pushed, but those are basically, you know, ready to go. So,
and I said, well, look, Trolls World Tour, which I know is a DreamWorks picture, that by all indications made about $90 million this past weekend with a $20 VOD rental, not even a purchase, $20 VOD rental. And his concern, he speculated that Disney's concern, which I think is a very legitimate concern with releasing Black Widow and Mulan in the VOD platform. And by the way, they could charge $30 for the rental, $40 for the rental, and I think they do very well. But ultimately, it was piracy that I think that was the big factor that he thought.
That 100%. Like, without, you know, like, saying too much, like, you can't release something online and have it, I don't want to say not get pirated, but there's a very good chance it will be pirated and then shown. So you're losing, besides that first hit of revenue, you've lost it from that point forward for, I mean, maybe not. Like, maybe there's still, like, you rotate which platform it's on. Like, they rotate the Hulu and the Netflix and the Disney Plus or whatever. So if you're not already subscribed to that, then, you know, you don't get to see it. But you're absolutely right. If they don't make that initial hit, then it's more than likely going to get pirated because that's the crappy world we live in. Also, the interesting thing is that, once again, and again, no one has said this. This is just something that I brought up. Don't you want Mulan to win an award? Like, what? I'm sure that they want to hold on to that. Like, that's their, you know, not claim to fame, but like, it's in the realm of an animation that could win a major award. So like, do they let that go? I don't know. They haven't decided. I don't know. So, I mean, maybe they have decided and then just don't tell me. I don't know. But what does it look like? How long do you hold on to that? Because when a theater is going to open, like, would we be lucky to have the theaters reopen by Christmas?
I mean,
I don't know that it'll ever be the same unless a vaccine comes through, which I guess should be the ultimate goal, because then that's the only normal we're ever going to get.
Yeah, no, you're right. I think the most anticipated movie for me this year, of course, was the Top Gun sequel, but because I was bound and determined to see that in IMAX. Mm-hmm. If they were to release that VOD, don't necessarily say I want to watch it.
I was actually going to say, when you were talking about the Trolls movie, I was actually thinking, because of Mulan and for very much so Top Gun and Black Widow, we did the sound for those. So, you know what? Yeah.
That's awesome.
But so, like, do you have, like, and I don't want to disparage anybody's home theater experience, I'm just saying, it won't be all it can be in your living room. It never can.
No. Like,
it'll never sound or look as good as it does at a theater. It isn't. Even my own personal setup, which is pretty, I think, pretty nice, you know, but like, it's never going to be, it's not the same.
Can you just remind me, because I love hearing this, about the screening room that you've got at Skywalker, or the sound system?
Yeah. So, yeah, we have, I think by last count, it's something like a 47.5. That's right. 47 speakers, including Atmos in the ceiling, and then 5 subwoofers distributed throughout the theater. And it's about a 300-seat theater. But again, since we do sound for movies, the last thing that we try to do for the directors and the movie production before they leave with their as a happy customer is they want to see it in a theater. They want to play it from beginning to end as it would show. And of course, our theater is better than any other theater like in the world, I think. But it's never going to play even as good as that. But it's the best it can be. So we try to leave them with the best product they can possibly have before they walk out the door.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
and you got to feel it inside.
Exactly. This is why like the Top Gun trailer just gets me. It gets me every time. And I'm like, oh, this is something I've got to see this in IMAX. I don't care. I will pay $50 to see that.
You'll feel the same way.
So. Yeah. So, we don't know if that's going to happen.
Right. And again, how long can you hold on to a movie that you've already paid for?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not long, I would assume. I mean, again, not a doctor, but I can only assume that it's not, you can't hold on to that forever. But do you want to talk about like going back in? Because I think that's an interesting topic that we've started to discuss. Like for you, it's going to be wearing face masks and half staff, maybe, you know, like half fill. So like for us, the engineering staff will have to go in first. And so like right now, most of the rooms, not all, but most are two editors to a room just because of size constraints and things like that. So whether it's a headphones or a full, like, you know, 5.1 system at their desk or whatever. Now, so going back, like, what does that look like? We're hoping for maybe like, who knows, 30% occupancy ? You know, so like we have to go in. Do we disinfect everything? Like, are we the ones that disinfect? Do we get someone to disinfect everything? And do we disinfect on a daily basis, on an hourly basis? I don't know. But we move everyone down to, let's say, one person per room, and then you rotate who gets to work, like, on whatever. So there's only, you know, at one point, I think we have up to, like, 300 people in the building at a time. So do we keep it down to, like, 100 and rotate them? I mean, I don't know. So, but that's something that, as in part of the engineering team, like, we'll have to go in first to move computers and speakers and desks and just try to figure out, like, how many people we can have on this wing of this building or on this floor or, and what are the protocols? I guess we'll get that from the state of like what protocols have to be. I don't know, but we're going to try.
Yeah.
Movies need to get made, man. what do we do all day besides Netflix and Disney?
Exactly. My concern for myself and for my coworkers just stems on the fact that the restaurant I currently work at is an independently owned restaurant. It's not part of a big franchise, not part of a corporation. It's not part of a chain. We are not fine dining. We're not casual. I like to say that we're elevated dining as a term I've coined. And restaurant margins are incredibly thin. Profit margins are incredibly thin. And there is not a scenario, and I hope my boss doesn't hear this, there is not a scenario that I see where we can be successful at 50% occupancy with 6 feet in between tables. That I don't, right. Unless all of a sudden we sign up for DoorDash, Grubhub, Postmates, Bite Squad, every single one of them, and just turn into a massive takeout operation, which the town is only 55,000 people. So that's not going to happen. Right. So for the very first time in my life, I have real uncertainty about what happens when I do go back to work. And it is a little bit stressful. If I'm just being completely honest, it's a little bit stressful, and I don't know exactly. I've always been an optimistic person, Annalise. It's just my nature. Yeah. And unfortunately, the unknowing and not having the answers is really starting to wear on me. And I know it's wearing on everybody, so I don't want anybody to feel sorry for me because I know we're all going through this.
Yeah, I mean, so I don't know how it is in your area, but here there's in Napa, there are only a few chains, and most of them are smaller, independently owned restaurants. And yes, a couple of them are owned by like Chef Morimoto. So like, you know, is that going to destroy his life? No, but his restaurant being closed is destroying his staff, I'm sure. So not all, but the majority of the restaurants here have moved to takeout and pickup. And they've had to do it in a hurry because most of them weren't signed up with DoorDash or things like that. So they didn't have an online ordering system. And so many places have closed and then reopened.
Right.
And then they either donated their food or actually, because for a little while, like eggs were hard to find, you know? So like they actually sold off their eggs and flour and all of that stuff, like the bakeries and things like that. But a lot of them are open at this point doing just takeout and delivery, and some actually still sell. Like one of them is selling their like sourdough starter and things like that. And some one of them sells pre-made pizza kits. So you get the sauce, all the ingredients, plus the pizza dough, and you make it from home. And it's like a discounted price. It's like $20 for a family of four or something right. like that, because you're basically buying the prepped ingredients and not it being cooked or whatever. So
now in
very interesting process.
In California, I wonder if, because here in Florida, they lifted the
alcohol.
So restaurants can sell all a la carte alcohol. Yep. And even mixed drinks, as long as they put them in a, quote, sealed top.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay.
And it's being done. Every restaurant has come out, like Gran Electrica, which is a tequila bar. It's Taco Tuesday yesterday. Pick up your pre-made margaritas. It's a six-pack of margaritas with your tacos. Like, let's do that, you guys. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
It's and a lot of them are doing it's like their price, like with a 20% discount or something like that. So they're trying so hard, and you know, some of them aren't going to make it. A lot of them aren't going to make it, but they're trying really hard, and they're doing that. Was it Takeout Tuesday or something? That's National Takeout Tuesdays or whatever. So they try to get people because it's the slowest retail day of the week. Anyway, just, I don't know. I don't see how.
I went to Los Angeles the last, right. I flew out on the 29th of February, came back on the 5th of March. I was out there for four full days. And I went to, it's so strange because I was there just as this thing was starting to really grab everyone's attention, but everything was business as usual. And I went to, I was very lucky. Like I got to go to some of the best restaurants in LA when I was there. And one of them in particular, I'm going to name drop, was called Craig's, and it was in West Hollywood. And it was one of the places where when you got out of, we got out of our Uber, there was paparazzi lined up on both sides of the entrance, you know, and just for fun, I'm like covering my face going, no, no pictures. No, no, I'm sorry. And you know, I walk in there and it's the kind of place where like you call to make a reservation and they're going to say, great. Table for two. What's the name? Okay. Why should we give you a table? You know, that type right. of place. Like, so
but who are you? Are you anybody?
Exactly.
Without
exactly.
saying, are you anybody?
Well, for example, when we sat down at our table, there was a group of eight of us. Mm-hmm. And when I sat down, I looked at the table next to me and, oh, well, there's Rod Stewart just sitting there. I'm like, oh, okay. All right.
The man has to eat, Dana.
He does have to eat. And it was interesting because it looked like a lightning striking outside every time. Because when the paparazzi flash bulbs would go off, my friend who's a regular there, he goes, watch. Every time you see those go off, someone's going to come in. And like Blake Griffin came in. And anyway, the whole point of this was a very small restaurant.
Right.
I mean, the tables were on top of each other. Mm-hmm. I don't know how a restaurant like that makes it. I mean, I right. know it's the at the time it was the it place to go eat. Right. It was, but I don't know how they make it. I mean, it's
and that restaurant's not going to make it on takeout because the point of that restaurant is not takeout. It's to be seen and yeah. eat out, and you know, you're eating at the cool place. So
yeah, it was interesting, and I worry about a place like I finally got to go to Mel's Diner on Sunset. Like this, I'm sorry, I'm geeking out a little bit because it was my very first time in Los Angeles.
I've been there. I lived there for 8 years, but so I've been to Mel's Diner. But yeah, it's good.
So as a big movie aficionado, I was living the dream. I was having a great time. But I worry about all those places as well, and I worry about the people that work there.
Yeah, because as we've just discussed, like it's that weird thing where like I said, like for me, like Disney's going to be okay. The people that work for Disney, maybe, you know, like again, and everybody's furloughed, so no one's actually laid off.
Let me ask you this. Let's talk about what have you been watching lately? Like actually, you know, I have a question for you. And if you can't answer this, I will completely edit it out. But I'm going to ask you a question because I'm just curious. When The Mandalorian was being produced, okay, that went through Skywalker, I imagine. Skywalker right. sound. Yep. So how far in advance did you know about Baby Yoda before the whole world?
So what's funny is I didn't know much, but that's also because, well, things are a little more locked down with the new regime as opposed to when we didn't have Disney. But that's also because there's been leaks. And so even we used to be a little bit more free with info and things like that, or, you know, around the water cooler, if you will. But now that's a lot more locked down. So like, if I don't actively seek out information, it doesn't necessarily come across my desk, you know, like, so if I go into a room and they're working on whatever it is, they don't stop working on it because I'm in the room, you know, like it's just a trust factor of like, right. I've seen this, you know, like I've seen, you know, a little bit of many films before they come out. So I had, you know, heard grumblings of Baby Yoda, but hadn't actually seen Baby Yoda until much later. And fun fact, I have not yet watched The Mandalorian. It's on the list. And we just got Disney Plus March 1st.
Okay.
Because it was offered as an employee perk, but you had to trade another perk to get it. So it's, you know, they're trading perks. So like, because you can't have all the perks because that's insane. And we have millions of employees. So maybe you could just pick one of the perks. So I gave up another perk for the Disney Plus Hulu combo.
Awesome.
But since Neil is still working, we're still kind of living like a, you know, 9-to-5 lifestyle. So we're still kind of waiting so we can like sit down and watch that. So in answer to your first question, not really that much. I haven't been watching a ton of stuff. I've been, you're going to find this hilarious. I've become more housewife-ish. That's not the hilarious part. What I'm going to say next is the hilarious part. I'm playing a lot of Animal Crossing, which I find very relaxing. It's very silly and very like, I'm just going to fish for like 20 minutes and my breathing calms down and my mind kind of empties and, you know, then I feel better about the world and its place.
It's so interesting you say that because I too have found myself gaming a lot more. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned the fishing part. You just invoked the fact that I do fishing in a video game also, but it's Far Cry 5. But just picture this bizarre scenario where yesterday I'm stressed out. I'm like, I'm just going to play Far Cry 5 for a little bit, fire up the Xbox. Yep. And I just jump into a helicopter, find a stream, get out, and I for 45 minutes I'm just fishing in the game. So I completely get it. Now every once in a while people try to come after me with weapons, but you know, that's a little different. So but I get it, and I zone out when I'm playing that game now. Yeah. Or racing games or anything. And it's, look, I'm so thankful, and I do not take for granted the fact that I've got internet and air conditioning and electricity.
Exactly.
And
like, we didn't have that. There'd be chaos in the streets. There's no way.
No, I agree. So I have been trying to, you know, go back and revisit a lot of comfort films for me over the. So I'm just going to rattle off a few movies I've watched over the past
I was going to say I have a couple of comfort films that I've rewatched and a couple of comfort series. So
let me tell you, I'll just tell you three real quick that I've watched. Mm-hmm. I watched Top Secret the other day for the first time in 20 years.
Brilliant.
I probably rewound the scene with the singing horse, which is only about a minute long, about 30 times. And then I was so thankful to find that little 1 minute and a half clip on YouTube. As everyone knows, Jaws is my favorite movie. And thank you again for providing the intro to the Jaws episode that I did. I still appreciate that. I have been working on an episode, and this is a Dana Buckler Show exclusive. I've been working on an episode called The Case for Jaws 2, where I believe that is actually a far better movie than people give it credit for. I've watched it twice over the past few weeks. Right. I think it's actually a very good movie. And then I have watched
Jaws 2.
You should give it another shot.
I would consider your argument, Dana.
and then I watched The Burbs.
Nice.
Which is perfect. So
I haven't seen that movie in 2 years. Easy, I'm sure.
Oh, it's terrific. It's absolutely terrific. So what about you? What do you said you could put a list together.
Yeah, so I have gone the other way. What, Amelie? And I also really like Enchanted April.
Okay.
Remember what that one is. And then Northern Exposure.
Oh, okay. The show. Yeah.
I have quite a few seasons on DVD. Like, and that's another thing I've been doing. I've been going through my DVD collection. I have a box to get rid of or whatever. And then, so there's also Pushing Daisies. I think that I like those two series alone probably just gives you a super glimpse into my personality.
I'm guilty of, I'm just going to say for the record, I've actually never watched Northern Exposure. I think I need to, is that a, I know you said you got the DVDs, but if I was to look for that relatively quickly, Hulu, do you think?
I don't know. I would assume Hulu more than anything else.
All right. I'll give that a look.
I like it. It's worth your time. And it's also one of those ones that it's interesting and written really well, but nothing like terrible happens. Like we're not, it's not like watching The Wire where it gives me nightmares, you know, like I have enough of that going on right now. I don't really need that in my life right now. But and as you said at the very beginning, like you're not really sticking to like a schedule or anything. I sort of am because, again, my husband's still working. So that's still kind of a thing. So I still get up at a decent time. I've been actually working out. I've been doing some extra skincare. me and the dogs are getting along great, so much so that like they're like awake all day long and staring at me. And I'm like, we need some new games to play that don't necessarily involve food because I don't want you to get fat. So there's a lot of other things going on, but I'm still trying to like prep dinner every day and, you know, like do extra cleaning and like wash all the couch covers and like, so just things like that, like day to day things that may or may not get done on a daily basis or may or may not get done, like shoved into a Saturday once a month or something like that. So I've been trying to sort of kind of keep the schedule. And like I said, I'm still doing like meetings and things like that. So got to work that in there. Although I have to say, I mean, I've been also this ongoing joke with like me and some of my friends, like, so showering today or because yeah. You don't go anywhere. You don't see anybody, you know? So like I've been keeping up on the shower. And I will say though that I don't like it dressed, I'm using quote fingers, dressed every day. I go move from my pajamas to other cozy clothes that I just don't sleep in. But they could probably pass for pajamas. I don't know. The girl across the street yesterday, I watched her mow the front lawn in her pajamas. So I think we're on a different level of normal right now. So you can't be judged for doing something like that.
I totally get the shower thing. If it wasn't for the fact that I was doing some YouTube live streams about once a week, I don't know if I'd actually shave at all. that
what
being
this, Dana, like what day is today?
Yeah, no, I have to. It feels like it's a terrible, Thursday. It's terrible. Is it a Thursday? No.
No, it's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday.
See?
Yeah. No, every day is just today. That's
every day is today.
That's so.
I was talking to my husband the other day, and you know, like we were talking about like stress and things like that, because you know, like obviously, the chance of me getting furloughed is very, you know, prevalent, and so we have to have these discussions on money management and whether we're going to cancel our vacation, which we probably have to coming up, because I don't think the borders will be where they need to be, obviously, and safety wise. Anyways, I was like, well, at least it's Friday. And he goes like, oh, it's Thursday. And I'm like, oh no, I'm so sorry. Anyway, oh my gosh.
I genuinely have to give it a hard think when I'm questioning what day it is. And there was that moment where I genuinely thought it was Thursday. Mm-hmm. But then I remembered you telling me you had something going on Thursday so you could record today. Like, this is all processing. Right. No, it's today's Wednesday. No, that's exactly it. I don't know. Like, I'm almost at a loss for words. Let me ask you this. Is there anything right now that you're missing particularly more than other things, given the current state of things?
I would say it's all very trivial stuff, but I think it's because you don't have the freedoms that you had before. So maybe that's what it comes down to, missing the freedom of going out and grabbing a drink on Friday nights. Like we used to go to happy hour at our local favorite places and things like that, and see our friend who's the super awesome bartender guy, you know, I could say his name, but I'm not going to, but I know his name. I'm just saying, but like, and going out for coffee, but just cause it's something ritualistic that we would do together when out in the world. And I am not having as much trouble staying home, I think, as a lot of people, only because up until staying home, I was commuting an hour in the morning and an hour half at night every day. So I was gone from home for like 10, 11 hours a day. And so being home for me is like real nice because I'm not home a lot. So my perspective, I think, is a little bit different than most people. So I'm not getting cabin fever yet, but I think a lot of people probably are. But I would say just the freedoms to do those things is what I really miss the most. Because like, if I had free time today, would I go out for a beer? Probably not. But the fact that I can't is super awful.
For me, and again, I'm going to really emphasize what you said about this being very trivial.
Right.
But as much as I have bad experiences going to the movies, I miss going to the movies so much. And I was mentioning that this Sunday will be my 42nd birthday, and it will be the first time, I did the math, it will be the first time in 34 years that I didn't see a movie on my birthday. And to me, that's such a big deal. Like, I know it's so trivial, and in the grand scheme of things, who cares? But I'm all about tradition and ritual, like you said, and there's some things that, like, that's my thing.
Right.
I'm in love with going to the movies, no matter how awful those experiences are.
And your birthday movie is your thing.
It's always my thing. You know, you know what my first birthday movie was? 1987, Inner Space.
Really?
That was my first birthday movie. My parents took me to see that. The Joe Dante directed, Dennis Quaid, Meg Ryan, Martin Short.
Mm-hmm.
Great movie. The next year was Beetlejuice. That was my next birthday movie.
Even better.
Yeah, I know. So I
don't remember what my first movies were. That whole time frame is a blur for me. So,
but those are the things that, like, I look back at some of my fondest memories, and that they genuinely involve something to do with movies. Like when I was in LA, like, believe me, like, I couldn't wait to go down to Hollywood Boulevard and just walk around in the Walk of Fame,
China Theater, and
I mean, and I know it's a super touristy thing, but I wanted to see all the people dressed up in those costumes and.
It's one of those things you got to do. I mean, especially if you love movies as much as you do.
Yeah, no, it was, and it was, I'm super glad I got to go to LA when I did. And I'm really sad that it's not the same place that, that I left it, if you will. But I'm glad that everybody is keeping safe. So before we wrap up, Annalise, you've got to tell the listeners how they can find your podcast, how they can find your YouTube channel, and how they can find you on social media if they'd like to chit chat with you a little bit.
Absolutely. You can find me at Wire Tech Girl on Twitter, and podcast Dark Angels and Pretty Freaks is DAPF Pod on Twitter, and Halos and Heathens on YouTube if you care to watch videos about our dogs or making drinks. I don't know.
I will, of course, include links to all everything in this episode's show notes. And before, like I said, before we wrap it up, like, when I started doing my podcast, you were one of the very first people to ever reach out to me. And I still have that email that you wrote from 6 years ago, you know, and I'll always cherish that. And I was talking to you the other day when we were setting this up, and we were talking about, you know, all those podcasts that we're all kind of in this group, and we're all very supportive of each other. And, you know, 6.5 years later, there's only a few of us left. And I think it's a testament to your commitment to what you're doing, what you and Neil are doing. And I've been a fan since day one, and I'm going to continue to be a fan for as long as you continue to do the show. And I love the YouTube channel that you guys are doing. I love the live streams that you're doing. So it has been 5 years since you've been on the show. You got to promise me that it will not be another 5 years before you come back on the show.
It shouldn't be. I didn't realize it was that long. I think that's the good thing and bad thing about being friends too, is that, like, I think it was like last year, right?
Yeah.
Just, you know, it hasn't been that long. We just did it. That's the problem. But thank you. And I remember finding you. And when I found you, I was thinking to myself, this is an amazing podcast. Everybody should know about it.
I appreciate
you. And I did my best to tell everybody.
And I appreciate that. I genuinely do. So sincerely. So Annalise, thank you. I'm glad that you, Neil, the dogs are doing well. Oh, by the way, I just want for the record to show, I wear the Chubbs t-shirt all the time.
And, oh, awesome. Thank you.
And I'm telling you, I was at the grocery store the other day, and I walked by, you know, this lady, and she had her daughter, and the daughter just sort of pointed at the shirt. He's got that's a cat hilarious. On his shirt. So I just want you to know, like, I proudly wear that t-shirt everywhere.
That shirt gets a lot of action.
It's our favorite. I'm telling you right now, I have never been an impulse shopper. Uh-huh. I've always been very like, okay, is this something I really need? Is this something I really want to have? And when I saw that on Facebook, I was at work. Okay. I was at work, and I went up and told management, I have to take 5 minutes. They're like, what's going on? I said, is this something I have to do? and I ran outside.
Wait a minute.
Ran outside and immediately got that shirt. I didn't care what the price was. Like, I have to have that. So that's awesome. And I'm super glad I got to get that shirt.
And you know how much that kitty meant to me. So it's super heartful for many reasons.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So stay safe. I'm glad you and Neil and the dogs are doing well. And yes. And we'll definitely talk soon. Okay.
Take care of yourself.
All right. My name is Dana Buckler, and thank you so much for listening.